Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that very much. We certainly depend upon the Lord for all, and thank Him for all that He has done for us. I love that song. A lot to unpack there in that song, a lot of great truth that was mentioned. Take your Bibles this morning, go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Once again, the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. I've been promising for several weeks we'd begin to talk about some of the fruit and not just how to have the fruit. And this morning we will do just that. And in Galatians chapter number 5, we have found the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. One group of works is considered plural. In other words, man may be participate in different works of the flesh at different times. The Bible explained that by telling us in verse 19 in chapter 5, the works of the flesh, that's plural, and it goes through the list, and mankind may be using different ones of those. Some may be dominated by adultery, some fornication, idolatry, whatever, different things for different people. But then if you go to verse number 22, which is where we are today in chapter 5, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So what the Bible is seeking to help us understand by using one in the plural, the works of the flesh, and the other in the singular, the fruit of the Spirit, is that each of these fruits, it's not that some Christians are saying, oh, well, that's just a loving Christian. They have a certain amount of the fruit of the Spirit there, but and this other Christian has joy, but they don't have love. Or this Christian has gentleness, but they're hateful, whatever it may be. The Bible is saying in verse number 19 and 22 here that the fruit of the Spirit is something that should be characterized, not just one, but all of them to begin to be characterized in the life of the believer. And so the Bible says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, and then gives the list, that our lives are characterized by these fruits. And I've explained to you each and every week we've been together, each and every week we've been working through these, is that many misunderstand and misinterpret the characters of the fruits of the Spirit as something that they are manufacturing in their lives, right? We're training the flesh. It's like training a shark to be a dolphin. It doesn't work. Or trying to train a horse to be a bull. I'm trying to use a little cowboy language. It's not working out for me here. But whatever it may be, do you understand? It's trying to train something that isn't designed to have these fruits. And so as a Christian, we are not trying to train our own flesh by beating into submission, but we are beginning to operate by the power of the Spirit of God. So these are not fruits that are manufactured in our own lives by ourselves. The key, and listen, you will find yourself greatly frustrated if you try to produce these fruits by yourself, never to say also impossible to produce these fruits by yourself. So the key to understanding these qualities is that fruit, of course, is the natural result of growth, right? Fruit comes from growth. A tree that begins to grow and mature begins to produce fruit. So that's why fruit is being used as an example, because it's a natural result of growth. And so he says, but the fruit, he says, the natural result of growth, and then he says in verse number 22, of the Spirit. The Spirit explains, the word Spirit here is explaining who causes the growth. The fruit and a result of growth being caused by the Spirit, which is called sanctification. We can go into that another time. So it's not our striving and straining, but the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's not just the idea of human toil and gritty determination can produce spirits, the spiritual fruit, but it's influence of a yielded heart that can work miracles in our lives as we are growing and maturing in the Lord and the Spirit of God is producing this fruit. So always understand that as you seek to live a life producing fruit for the Holy Spirit, it is fruit which is a sign of growth being produced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we get to the first one. And of course the Bible starts with one that can be difficult at times. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. The English language gives us one word for love. As we get to Valentine's Day, many people think of love. I love to tease teenagers when they're in their teenage relationships. And if I ever see them on the phone with one another, I always walk by them and say, I love you more. No, I love you more. I love you more. Or, you know, the famous, you hang up first. No, you hang up first, right? You know, those kind of things. I never did those kind of things. When I was dating Joanna, we still had phone cards. Do you remember phone cards? You know, and you'd enter the 1-800 number, da-da-da-da-da, and then a 16-number account. And she lived in Wyoming. I was in North Carolina for the summer before we got married. And cell phones were not really a thing. I feel old all of a sudden. And I would drive to the payphone down at the Times Square Inn in Elk Park, North Carolina, and I would put that steel cord through the window there, and I'd hit all those numbers, right, and her dad would answer. Oh, man, that was scary. I've told you about, he's a big guy, you haven't met him before, and he would answer, and I'd talk to him for a while. Let me just say this for just one, this is totally free, okay? I think it would do the teenagers some good to have the dad answer the phone every now and then when they call a girl. Right? Because nowadays, you have where, you know, everyone has their own phone. The teens are going to hate me. I'm never going to his Sunday school class again. Right? But nowadays, everybody's got their own phones, and the kids just communicate direct to each other, and the parents don't even know what's going on. That's free, okay? Nevertheless, so I'm getting a landline at my house. Karis will be around 40 when the first guy's allowed to call her. And I'll answer, and we'll talk a little while, okay? Poor child, it's going to be rough, okay? But anyway, and so, you know, we talk about this understanding of love and what does it mean and how do we live in love. But, you know, people throw around the word love like nothing nowadays, right? I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love with this person, or I love that. So the English language gives us one word for love. But the Greek language has three different words for love. Agape, phileo, eros, all different words for love. And of course, the word that is used here in Galatians is that Greek word agape, which I believe is the highest level of love. It's a word that expresses not just a feeling. Because if you understand, sometimes we don't always feel like loving, do we? I told the church on Wednesday night a story about a man when I was a young boy, and he was just a grumpy person, right? And as a kid, I was always in trouble by this person. If I did anything, it was wrong. And no matter what I did, I was in trouble. I had done something wrong. I was using this in the wrong way. We were building little Grand Prix cars one time at Awana, and I got in trouble with him for that. I mean, everything I did, he was after me as a young kid. And about 4 years later, I had grown up into a teenager, and I just kind of tried to avoid him, you know. And one day I was walking on the Navajo Indian Reservation. We lived in New Mexico at the time. And there was a truck stuck in the mud and a man trying to push it out himself. And it was the man that hated me. And, of course, my flesh said, good luck. All right, I hope you stay there the rest of the day. You know, that's what my flesh said. But I said, oh, you know what? I guess I better help him. And his truck was a Chevy S10. I can remember like it was yesterday, tan in color. And it was a stick shift. And so he was there trying to put it in gear and pushing in the door. And he couldn't get it out. And his wheels were spinning. And all of a sudden, I walked up behind him. And I pushed that truck out. And he looked shocked. He didn't even know what had happened. Because all of a sudden, the truck started moving. And he was unstuck. I'm not saying I was strong or nothing. It must not have been that stuck. But anyway, the truck started moving, and I remember him looking back, and he saw me standing there, and it was a shock on his face, because I think at that very moment he thought to himself, here I am, always been mean to this kid, always been getting him in trouble, and yet he's the one that just pushed my truck out of the mud, right? To be loving. So the word for love here is love that is done by choice, not necessarily a feeling. See, our situation in our society today is that we have caused love to be nothing but a feeling. A husband and wife may say, well, I just don't feel like I'm in love anymore. See, this love here is not a love that is developed by a feeling, but love that is developed by a choice. Go back a few verses to verse number 14 in Galatians chapter number 5. Verse number 14, this has been the Lord talking about this all through chapter number 5. And he says this in verse number 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. All the law, all the things, all the rules, all the things that people have discussed and argued about and debated about, he says, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Go now to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 10. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Romans 13 and verse number 10 in your Bibles, where the Bible says this in verse number 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now here's the situation. There's only one person that can love like I need to love. There's only one person that has ever demonstrated perfect love, and that is God. That's what he has done. He is the essence of love. He is the one that has made love. And so in order for me to exhibit and demonstrate love in my life, I need to have his love flowing through me. Think of what God did. I think it was referenced already this morning in 1 John, where the Bible is talking about God manifesting his love towards us. That God demonstrated his love towards us. Go to 1 John chapter 4. It's what we were reading this morning. Go to 1 John chapter 4, but we'll go back to verse number 7 in the book of 1 John. Now, I mentioned to you that every time we talk about a fruit of the Spirit, we will show you that Christ is the example of how to do that. Every time we are asked to do something in Scripture, we have Christ serving as the example of how to do that. And so he says this in verse 7 of 1 John chapter number 4. He says, beloved, so I believe that is an indication that he's speaking to believers here, let us love one another, for love is of God, right? Love is of God, is part of who God is. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And now verse 8. Much easier to skip this verse, right? Let's just don't read this part because we get convicted by it. But he says this, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Remember when we started the fruits of the Spirit? I was explaining to you that the fruits of the Spirit are indications of salvation. Our indication that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so he says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now let's think about that for a moment. We have verses in Scripture that explain to us the love of God. Everyone knows John 3:16. It's understanding that we know it so well, we forget what's in it. But the Bible does say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so I tell you that love is a choice because Christ came through the love of God to give his life for people who did not give a hoot, right? Think of God and his love as he sends Christ to the earth, and Christ ultimately is taken in the hands of man, right? Crucified. Before they crucify him, they beat him. We've been through all this before. They beat him. They spit upon him, and I've told you before, that's where I would have drawn the line. If I was Christ, the moment you spat upon me, I would have said, hold it right there. Angels, take him out. I've had enough, all right? But no, Christ, because of the love of God, allowed himself to be beaten, and I've explained to you before what he was beaten with a coat of nine tails that would have had stones and different things in it that would have caused the skin to be ripped away. The robe would have been put back upon his back, dried, ripped off, opening the wounds again. The crown of thorns that was upon his head was not just any little thorn. It was probably close to 2 inches long, and they pressed that upon his head. They mocked him, they beat him, and they make him carry his own cross to the hill of Golgotha. He collapses, is carried by someone else. They take him to the hill, spread his arms out, and they nail him to the cross, and then take his feet and nail his feet to the cross. Now, you tell me, is the love of God a choice or a feeling? It's a choice. God chose to send his son. And even though what our reaction was, there is mankind, there's even a time, and we all know this is working according to the plan of God, but they even say, I have no fault in this man. Who do you want us to release? As was custom for that day, the Bible says. And they say, we want Barabbas, the thief, right? Let's have him instead. We don't want Jesus, we want Barabbas. And so, for the Bible to make this statement in 1 John, he says, God is love. How was that demonstrated? He's going to tell us here in chapter number 4. He says, he that knoweth not God, for God is love. Now we get our example. Okay, God, you say you're love. Show me. Demonstrate that love. Verse number 9, I just explained this to you. In this was manifested. We've gone over these verses before. I've read them before. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Do you want to see a manifestation of love? Do you want to, you really think that we can love like God without God? He says God showed his love by sending his son. See, love has action attached to it. It's one thing just to say, oh, I love you, right? But does our love have action? God not only said he loves us, but he demonstrated that love by sending his son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10 continues, herein is love, not that we loved God. Okay. This is where it's getting a little difficult now, right? It's one thing to love somebody who loves you. Who finds that real easy, right? Who finds that easy to love somebody that loves you, right? That's easy. That's no problem, right? Hey, I love you. I love you too, right? Hey, this is great. How about when you and your spouse get into a little scuffle? How's your love feeling right then? Has that ever happened to anybody? It's never happened to me. I'm a pastor, right? That doesn't happen to preachers. Of course. Hey, do you feel like loving when someone has been unloving to you? That's when love becomes a choice. And that's what God is demonstrating here. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. See, as a Christian, when we practice the fruits of the Spirit, we love not because of a feeling, not because someone loves us, but because we are commanded through the power of the Spirit to love one another. And God demonstrated that in the midst of him sending his son here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I know I've explained these verses before, but just in case you weren't there, the word propitiation means payment. He sent his son to be a payment. Not only did he love when we didn't love him, but he acted upon love when we didn't love him, and even gave in the midst of us not loving. Maybe around Christmas time, right? You're making your list. It's going to be a long time. And you're thinking, okay, we're going to give a gift to this person because they gave us a gift last year, right? And we're not going to give a gift to this person. They didn't give us a gift last year, right? And so I wouldn't say anyone would do that. But in times, maybe you've gone through those things. And he says here, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He even gave his son in the midst of us not loving him. And then he continues in verse 11. Here's the application. It starts with the same word as verse 7. It's a reminder. Come back, he's saying for a moment. Beloved Christian, he says, this is the demonstration of love. This is what God has done. And then the application, the Bible does this time and time again. It interprets itself. It gives us application. So he says in verse 11, beloved, all right, wake up. This is what God is telling you. This is the application. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Let's practice this for a moment this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. I just saved about 5 marriages, all right? But listen, turn to someone else and say, I love you. Isn't that fun? I'm going to hear about this when I get home. But listen, as Christians, we love one another, he says. Beloved, listen, if God so loved us, has anyone done more than God for us? So ought we to love one another, he says this. And then verse number 12, we see another verse that continues to talk about this. He says this, no man hath seen God at any time. I have heard this verse used so many different ways. It's not even funny, all right? But in context, the context of this verse is the love of God, right? He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. He says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So what's he saying here? No man has seen God, but how can they see God? As we demonstrate his love. Remember the old hymn? I better not sing too much, but it says, and they'll know we are Christians, love by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. That's what he's saying. No man has seen God, but they see God in us when we demonstrate love to one another. And he says in verse number 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God has provided us an example of love, a demonstration of love. Now again, Christian, let me bring you back to where we started a moment ago. Christian, you cannot demonstrate God's love without God's power. You cannot have the fruit of the Spirit developed in your life without the power of the Spirit. And so in order to show and to have and to demonstrate the love of God to others, we do that by the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 5 that we should walk in love. In Romans 5, the same thing, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, that we demonstrate the love of God. The word agape, go back to Galatians quickly, Galatians 5. If you study this word agape, the word for love here in Galatians 5, the agape love is always the hard love because it's that decision to love. So Christian, I ask you this morning, are we demonstrating the love of Christ in our lives to those around? I heard a sermon this week. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. David Gibbs, but he's the founder of the Christian Law Association. down in Tampa, Florida. My sister and my brother-in-law were both attorneys for the Christian Law Association, and they represent churches free of charge that have had lawsuits and individuals or Christian educators or whatever. And he's an attorney, and he's the founder of the Christian Law Association. And he told a story. He grew up on a farm there. I can't remember what state he was in, but he grew up in a farm, and they had a neighbor down the road that was very mean. And he tells the story about how the neighbor would shoot their dogs with buckshot, and every time they would go near this neighbor, the woman would use select language and yell at him and all these things. But anyway, the husband got real sick, and he couldn't work the farm anymore. And David Gibbs' dad said, "Son, I want you to go down the road and tell the neighbor we're going to plant their corn for him this year." And he said, "Dad, I am not going down there. Number one, she shoots my dogs. Number two, every time I get near, she curses at me and throws me off the porch and all those kind of things." And he said, "Son, I want you to go down and I want you to tell them we're going to plant the corn for them." And so the story goes that he goes down the street, knocks on the door. The lady cusses him out as he's there at the door. And she says, "What do you want?" And he says, "We're here to plant your corn." She said, "I don't have money for seed." He says, "I don't care. We're going to pay for the seed. My equipment's broken down. We're going to use our equipment." On and on. And then the lady says, "Well, I wouldn't do this for you." He says, "I know, but we're going to do it anyway for you." And so the story goes that him and his dad worked their farm and worked her farm at night, planted the corn, harvested the corn, sold the corn, went to their house, gave them the money for the corn that was harvested. And the woman said this, "You've invited me to church hundreds of times and I've never come." She said, "But I'd like to know the God that caused you to do this for me." Came to church, was saved. The first Sunday she came to church, her husband got saved 2 weeks later, lived 2 weeks, and died and went to heaven. That's how powerful the love of God can be, as we demonstrate love to those around us. And so God is reminding us that the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit is producing, is love. Now, why in some lives, I'm going to preach another sermon, I better not go into that, we'll do this another time, but in some of our lives, we have not yielded to that growth. This fruit, remember, you say, "Why am I not loving?" That is an area you have not yielded to the Spirit of God. The Spirit produces fruit in the yielded heart of the believer. And sometimes our hearts are not yielded in these areas. And we're going to see that every time through these fruits. And we're going to ask ourselves the question, are our hearts yielded to the love that the Spirit can produce in our lives? Are they yielded where the Spirit can begin to grow and produce that love, not only for one another, but also for those around us? Let's do this one more time this morning. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you love him. Was it easier this time? It seemed awkward last time. We love one another. We show the love of God to one another because the Spirit of God, and we yield to Him in our lives, He will produce the fruit of love in our hearts. And now that you're feeling so loving this morning, next week we'll talk about joy. Joy in our hearts. Not happiness, but joy that can only come from God. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Joanne and Bethany are going to come play us a closing song. Are we seeing the fruit of love being produced in our hearts? Are we yielded to the Spirit in this area? I know it can be hard. I know it can be difficult. I know that we all often have to search our hearts. But just take a moment there in your seat as they play for us this morning. Maybe say, "Spirit, if I'm not yielded to this area, help me to yield my heart to you that I would be loving." Help me to love by choice and by decision. Help me to love the unlovable. Help me to demonstrate who you are to those around me. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the truth that we hear therein. May we demonstrate your love to others through the power of the Holy Spirit. This can be hard, it can be difficult, but we know with you all things are possible. But we thank you for your word. Direct it to the place you have it to go and work as only you can. We thank you for our church. We thank you for the opportunity to be together this morning. We thank you for those that are visiting with us today. I pray that they would feel welcome and enjoy their time worshiping our eternal God together. Thank you for the music we've sung and that we've heard this morning. Youth group this afternoon, that to go well. Thank you for those that were baptized and for Heather who was saved. And we thank you for Megan and Corrigan. And we thank you for that family. Be with those that are sick. I pray for Ray as he's having surgery tomorrow at 12. Be with him. Help the surgery to go well. Help him to heal quickly. Be with Janice as she takes care of him. And may they both know that we're praying for him and we love him. For others that aren't feeling well this morning, be with them. Work in their hearts. Heal their bodies. Be with those that are traveling and many that will be traveling soon. Give them safety. We thank you for all you've done. May we show your love and demonstrate your love to others this week. In Jesus' name, amen.